Hello, my name's Kate Rolls and I'm interviewing you for the Wellcome Trust as you're taking part in Anthony Gormley's new artwork One and Other. The date today is the 15th of August 2009 and the time is 5:15 a.m. If I can please ask you to state your full name, your date of birth and where you come from.
My name's Thomas David Ferber. I was born on the 13th of June 1984 and I'm from Oxford.
And how are you today, Tom?
I'm quite sleepy. Because I had to get up quite early in the morning to be here on time.
Yeah. You have a 6 a.m. slot.
Yeah.
Yeah, very early. What was it that motivated you to take part in One Another?
Well, I used to work as a tour guide on the tour buses that go around Trafalgar Square. So we used to go around Trafalgar Square about 20 times a day. So took quite an interest in what was on the plinth. And when I heard that there was something new, that I've always been interested to find out the new thing that's on. And then I was really intrigued to sort of be able to take part in it. I think that's really nice, particularly because I feel this sort of London sort of very much part of me now. We spent so much time in it, but London can be quite anonymous. You can never really sort of own London, but it's quite sort of just give something back to it. I don't know, but just to be there and give something back to the ether of London really sort of appealed to me.
And when you found out that you had indeed got a spot on the plinth, how did you decide how to use your hour?
Well, I was quite bemused at first because I think maybe like many people, you apply on a bit of a whim and then you don't really expect to get the place. So I just sort of sat with the idea for a bit and didn't try and force anything. And then I was out on my bike. I cycle a lot for exercise and just to think. And I thought this would be a nice sort of thing for me to do because I sort of wanted to just be on the plinth. I didn't want to do a big performance because I didn't really know what I could do. But I thought just sort of seeing or lying would be a bit boring for me and a not particularly interesting image. So I thought sort of cycling would be a nice visual image, but still quite sort of still and just sort of just being and like a statue, but with a bit of movement.
So what did you decide to do on the plinth today?
So I'm going to, I've got my my bicycle and I've got sort of a stationary trainer. So you put the back wheel into the bicycle and then you kindle and not go anywhere. So I'm going to do that and just sort of cycle for an hour on the plinth.
Okay, yeah. Great. What is it about cycling that you like?
I'm quite a fidgety person, so it's quite nice to, it's a way of sort of thinking and moving at the same time. I just got quite into it when I was about 18 doing my A-levels, which was quite like a important time for me. I sort of found myself a bit and that was sort of a way of, you know, getting some time to myself and sort of thinking, and it's always just sort of stayed with me really.
You mentioned earlier that you worked on a tour bus. What was that experience like?
It was very up and down because when we first started, you were very, very excited about doing it because I really love London. Just something about it that I really, really like. But it was a bit of a grind, to be honest, because it was a lot. It was 3 2-hour tours a day, or normally 2-hour tours, but you get stuck in traffic and they'd be 3-hour tours. And there were funny shifts, so you'd do 7 days in a row, and then it was very, very tiring. So it was, you know, really ups and downs. Sometimes you'd be having a great time, a great laugh, and sometimes you'd be exhausted and not really wanting to be there. So you sort of see it. So emotionally, it was quite hard, but then it was nice as well because you'd see London, it in all times and all weathers and in all frames of mind. So it really, I don't know, it stays with you, sort of burnt in somehow.
And what do you do for a living now?
I'm studying at the moment. I'm doing a master's degree at King's College in war studies.
Why war studies?
Well, it's a bit of a funny, it's a bit of a long and convoluted story really, but I've always liked history and I was always very into sort of military history as a child. And then when I was going to go to university, I was always going to go and do war studies at King's College, and then in the sixth form I got really into drama and went to Warwick and did theatre studies, but then didn't like that and changed to history, And there was always this part of me that wanted to go and study at King's. So after finishing and working on a tour bus and various other things, it was something I wanted to do for myself, and to come back to those sort of things you liked as a child, but as an adult and seeing it as a more complex, come back to things like a child with an adult mind, very nice.
Is there a particular war or a particular aspect of war that you're most interested in?
Well, what I'm interested in sort of terrorism, and what I'm interested in is why people think, some people think that it's okay and one people that isn't, not, but from quite a sort of a relative perspective, because it's always struck me that that violence is a very horrible thing, but then why do some people think that that's okay? What is it that's in some people's heads that means that they think violence is okay, that means they actually support the suffering of other people? So I think that's very interesting.
Now, you've spoken about your motivations to take part in the project and what you're going to do today. Can I ask you to take us back a little bit further into your own history, and to maybe speak a little bit about your upbringing and where you come from?
Just trying to think. Well, lived in Watford my whole life, but other than a brief stint at Warwick, so it's hard to know where to start, really.
Okay. What what experiences do you think you've had that have shaped who you are?
I think one, a very I don't know why, a very sort of important time in my life was when I was at school, because I didn't sort of struggled a bit at school to start with, but the longer I was there, the more I found my niche. So I had a really great time in the sixth hall, in the upper sixth, where a lot of things sort of started to sort of come together, and I started to realise that I could actually do quite well at some things. And at that point I think life really became a bit of an adventure and something to really be experienced. So I think that's quite a sort of a seminal sort of thing for me. And then it's two things almost. That was quite a simple thing where I wanted to be quite kind of competitive and aggressive and, you know, conquer the world kind of thing, in that arrogant way you do when you're 18. And then what was interesting was that sort of softened when I got to university. And at first it was quite hard at university because you're used to being really successful, and then you're not as successful because everyone else is successful, and that softened. And to come to university, and I met a girlfriend who I'm still with, and it sort of, so everything sort of softened, and now I feel that it's nice to, I've got those two sides to me almost, that sort of softer side, just enjoying being with my friends, but also a more like adventurous side. That's
And what are your passions now?
I love cycling, and hence the thing. I love sort of being sort of active and sort of challenging myself physically. And I love just being with my friends and my family. I think that's a really great thing to do. You can't have enough friends and family. Mm. And I also I'm not sure if passion's the right word, but I like just sitting and being and just watching and being still. And that's again that's tying it all together almost. That's why I wanted to do the plinth. That's why I wanted to do the thing that I'm doing on the plinth, because it's that kind of fusion of the two things.
Do you find the time to do that in your everyday life?
Not as often as I might like, but then I think you have to just do it when you find it. Do you see what I mean? That, you know, if you try and think, have to have an hour to sit and do nothing, then that'll never happen. But you can be doing that, you know, when you're cooking or that kind of.
And do you know much about your family history at all?
A little bit, because my mum is into that, as every person does when they get to a certain age. I think you need to get out of the family tree. So my mum has hit that age, and she's done that. So on my mother's side, where the Jamesons, and they're from Staffordshire, via Stockport, via Ireland, via the west coast of Ireland. And then I think, I'm less sure about on my dad's side, but the name Ferber, my surname, is it's a Norman name. It's a Ferbershire, is a furnisher of armour, but we think that the name might be a bit of a red herring, and that the family might be Anglo-Saxon.
Mm. Mm. And how about your parents? Would you like to say a little bit about them?
Yeah, well, where to start? So my dad's David John Ferber, and that's hence I'm Thomas David Ferber. My mum's Moira Catherine Ferber. They're how old? 55 and 54. I've been married for 30 years, and my dad works in the city. He works for a software company. He's a project manager for a software company. Before that, he was a university lecturer at King's College, where I'm studying now. And then my mother is a librarian. She works at UCL. Before that, she worked at the Wellcome Trust, as a librarian at the Wellcome Trust. And they're both very, sort of quite religious, sort of committed Catholics, very kind, and very gentle people.
Mm. And how about you? Are you religious at all?
I don't know. I'm not. I don't believe in God. I've been increasingly influenced by Buddhism and that sort of. Those sort of meditative traditions, and I think it's a bit of a tricky subject, is that religious is not religious, and it's almost it can cause more trouble than it can cause more problems than it solves, almost, because sometimes I think, right, and am I going to be a Buddhist now, am I going to do this, and then you think, oh, I could be, but maybe that's not going to help, maybe that's not really the point.
Yeah.
And I think religion's got a lot of baggage these days, for better or for worse.
Mm. Mm. When you went to university, you studied drama and then history.
Mm.
What was your university experience like, and was there a particular element of your studies that you were really enthused by?
Mm. Sadly not, which is a bit... I think there's... Maybe it's just me, but for me, university was quite disappointing. I think it's billed as something really big and exciting and bold, and you're going to meet all your best friends, and you're going to have such a great time on your course because you're just doing the course that you love and all that kind of thing. And I found that it's true. Many of those things are true, but it's not as in your face as that. And you can spend a long time sort of thinking, when's all the fun going to start? When really it's happening, because it's fun in quite a incidental kind of way. It's fun just being with your friends all the time. Just that's, you know, just going to the shops with them and going to Tesco's with your friends is really where the, for me at least, where the really sort of, where the warm memories are. But you're not sort of told that, if you see what I mean. So I was always sort of comparing it to this thing. And then as soon as I let that go, I loved it. And I mean, the people coming to me today are my parents, and then my best friend from university and my girlfriend from university. So you get there in the end, but I think there's a lot of noise you have to cut through before you get to that.
Yeah. Mm. And I'm really intrigued by your studying war, war studies, especially with relation to Trafalgar Square and standing here. How do you consider that?
Yeah, it's a funny one, isn't it? Because obviously the name Trafalgar Square and all the... It's very, very mixed, because I think that when I think about war and things like Trafalgar, I feel like there's layers in me. There's this kid in me that just remembers reading about the Battle of Trafalgar as a kid and thinking, wow, Nelson, and, you know, just liking the ships and the tactics. And then there's the adult in me that realises that, you know, there's people, and then there's the cannonballs, and that people suffer. And then if you look at Trafalgar Square, you've got Nelson, this big sort of heroic thing. Then either side, they've got the statues, and their names escape me now, but Havelock and the other chap, the two generals from India. And you know, you're accustomed to thinking, oh, Britain, great, glorious, the empire, wicked, we own 25% of the globe, and then you realise that a lot of people suffered and died for that, and that's not very nice. So those, all those things are sort of going in your head at the same time.
How about your ambitions for the future?
I don't know, that's always the question I avoid. I've always seemed to be thinking I want to do something, then finding out it's not quite what I want to do. So when I was working as a tour guide, because I like public speaking, I like presenting, I just enjoy that. So I was doing that as a tour guide, and I thought, no, what I should do is I should be a university lecturer. That would be great, because I get to think all the time and do all these great presentations. And then, you know, I did the master's, hoping to do a PhD and so on and so forth. And then I realised that there's rather a lot of writing involved and research, and far from, you know, I did a PhD, far from getting to give all these great talks and interesting ideas, it would be sort of 3 years of me in the library looking up stuff on YouTube, feeling guilty about not doing my work, and that maybe wasn't the thing to do. So I'd like to teach in sort of some capacity, and I've got a teaching job for next year in a English language school, and then I'm thinking about maybe being a history teacher at school. And then I have this thing, really, it's a bit of a weird one, that I don't know whether that's really actually the best thing that I could do, and whether that's sort of going back to that time when I was 18 and I was at school and I was loving everything and I thought I could conquer the world. Is it going back to that and just sort of clicking in with that and is that all great? Or am I selling that guy out who wanted to do everything, be prime minister and so on and so forth, just thinking, oh, well, I'll go and be a secondary school teacher, I don't know. So it's how that resolves itself that is sort of the question for the future.
What's the main thing you would like to say about yourself, if there's anything?
I don't know. I wouldn't want to answer that question. Yeah. Not yeah. Just... I'd be embarrassed. I don't know. Just, you know... Yeah, it doesn't feel right saying I'm this or that.
Is there anything else that you would like to add about taking part in one another?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
No.
All right, well, thank you very much.
It's a pleasure.